The ongoing labor dispute between longshore workers and West Coast port operators intensified this week. 29 ports, including Seattle and Tacoma, will be mostly closed for four of the next 5 days. That order comes from the Pacific Maritime Association, the operator of the ports. Yesterday, 16 members of Congress, mostly from the West Coast, called for an end to the labor impasse. What does the ongoing dispute mean long-term for Northwest ports? Peter Tirschwell is chief content officer for the Journal of Commerce. It covers international trade and shipping. Tirschwell told Ross Reynolds, because of the labor dispute, many shipping companies are avoiding West Coast ports in the United States.
Containerized cargo is avoiding the West Coast right now. It's going through Canada. It's finding its way into and out of the U.S. through the U.S. Gulf as well as the East Coast ports.
Well, Washington State is the most trade-dependent state in the country. How could our region be affected by this dispute if it continues to drag on?
Well, certainly. I mean, it's already being affected because, you know, as we speak, you know, you have large importers in the U.S. who are using Canadian ports. They're using the port of Prince Rupert, for example. That's a port where a primary element of their business model is attracting U.S. cargo, and that would be cargo that normally would go through Seattle and Tacoma. Vancouver also, just to your north, that port attracts a sizable portion of U.S. cargo as well that gets on trains at Vancouver and then enters the United States, you know, somewhere in the Midwest. So the Canadian ports are not affected by this labor standoff. And major importers are looking for ports where there is no disruption and where they can depend on a fluid flow of their goods without delay. So they will be looking for alternative ports in order to be able to do that.
This is not unprecedented. Back in 2002, the Pacific Maritime Association, the shippers, closed all of their West Coast ports for 10 days. What were the long-term effects of that, and what lessons can be learned?
Well, it's very interesting because that was a huge wake-up call to corporate America, because all of the large importers and exporters, and many of them, were completely blindsided by that. They didn't have a great deal of understanding of what happened at the ports. They didn't really know who this longshore union was or the acrimonious relationship that it has with the employers. And so it came as a complete shock to learn that merchandise that was bound for retail stores was going to get delayed for weeks or months at a time. And as a result of that, you saw a whole wave of supply chains that were rerouted to the East Coast. It's one of the reasons why Savannah, for example, was one of the fastest growing ports over the last 15 years, because they saw a lot of that diversion cargo. I think that what you're going to see now this time is yet another reappraisal by companies that are shipping large quantities of containers about whether they can really depend on the West Coast ports and what ports they really can depend on in order to create the reliability that's essential for their supply chains.
Peter Tirschwell is Chief Content Officer for the Journal of Commerce, and we're talking about this ongoing labor dispute between longshoremen and port operators up and down the West Coast. Why is this labor trouble seemingly confined to the West Coast ports? Why aren't the East and Gulf Coast ports experiencing the same problems?
The East Coast ports have always had, for many years, a very different labor management relationship, a more amicable one. You haven't seen a full-fledged strike in the East Coast, you know, going back to the 1970s. In the Southeast, the labor laws are less restrictive so that the longshoremen could potentially experience competition from other unions. You also have to look at the West Coast Longshoremen's Union. I mean, culturally, it's, and I'm not being judgmental here at all, it's just talking about their background, they're rooted in militancy. Their history goes back to the 1930s when there were violent clashes on the waterfront where dock workers lost their lives in confrontations with police. The longshoremen take this very much to heart. You know, they defend their turf very, very aggressively in a way that you don't really see on the East Coast.
What are the long-term consequences for West Coast ports like Seattle and Tacoma?
Right now, you have every major retailer, consumer products company, manufacturer, agriculture company that is moving sizable quantities of containers through West Coast ports is reevaluating their strategy. They're asking themselves, can they divert that cargo away from the West Coast? Some of that cargo will get diverted. We're already seeing it in the data where cargo in the latter part of 2014 was diverted to the East Coast. So memories are long. The memories of what's going on right now are going to take a long time to fade. It's really going to be up to the West Coast ports as a whole, and by that I mean the longshoremen, the employers, the port authorities, the port communities, to demonstrate to the importer-exporter companies that their ports can be relied upon to keep cargo moving.
Peter Tirschwell is Chief Content Officer for the Journal of Commerce, a print magazine and website that covers international trade and shipping. He spoke with Ross Reynolds. The ports of Seattle and Tacoma will be partially closed tomorrow, Sunday, and Monday.